AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Outdoors on the Farm is brought to you by Basecamp Leasing. Turn your huntable farmland into a growing income stream through our Hunting Rights Lease Program. Learn more at basecampleasing.com.
We love our land and we treat it right.
Work the crops and man. Welcome back to AgriTalk and Outdoors on the Farm. I'm your host, Chip Florey. First guy I'm going to bring in here is Tom Florey. He's on the Outdoors on the Farm team. And, yes, the last name is no coincidence. How you doing this morning, bud?
Good. Trying to stay dry. We've got the spring rain, but we still got the winter cold, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So a little bit of snow on the ground this morning, but still, I grabbed my cup of coffee as the sun was coming up, stepped out on the back deck, Tom, and you know what I heard.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're already starting to gobble.
Oh, yeah, big time, big time. And it's the same place that they've always been for years. I mean, we've lived out here for 27, this will be our 27th spring, and it's the same way every year. So basically all I'm doing getting ready for turkey season is seeing if the pattern is going to be the same as it's always been. And the gobblers are on the other side of a creek right now, and we've got enough hens around here, Tom, and I think people make too much of an effort to get out too early in the morning to get out there and get those toms, because if you've got a bunch of hens around like we do in our timber, as soon as those birds hit the ground, they're henned up. They're not going to leave those hens, are they?
No, they're going to make sure that they've got the ones that are with, you know, their main group or their main flock. But you might get one to run away every now and then, but it's really hard with where we live. They've never came off of them and across that creek until late morning, early afternoon, like you've always said.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. So you get, you know, turkey hunting is always thought of as this early morning. You got to be out there before the sun comes up and get ready to go. At the Florey Ranch, it's a little different, and you can pattern the birds, guys. Do your scouting. Do your scouting. Be where you're going to hunt in the evening. Figure out where they're going to roost. Blow a crow call. Blow an owl call. Do something to get a reaction gobble from those birds as they're in the roost. And then if you can be there in the morning, figure out if they're back where you put them to bed the night before. But make a pass by your hunting area at 10 o'clock in the morning, noon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Do stuff like that, because I tell you, up here on top of the hill, it takes a while for those toms to break away from those hens. And by the time, you know, 10 o'clock to noon rolls around, they're often looking for another hen. Well, you got a couple of decoys up, you do a little bit of calling, and you can usually get them to walk in on you pretty decent. So, yeah, that's a little bit of turkey talk. Tom, let's bring in JT. JT Krager, Basecamp Leasing. How you doing, JT?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
We're doing real fine, real fine. So, great. JT, when you get out in the timber right now, what are you doing?
Well, we're doing a lot of, you know, work on tree stands from the prior year, you know, using the experience you had, learning from some of the trails, learning from some of the ways to get into the woods and not bust deer, get out of the woods without busting deer. That's always really helpful. So moving around some stands in the springtime, you know, works really well. Putting out a lot of lime right now on food plots, and you know, a lot of guys do frost seeding as well. Okay. I did a little bit of some food plot screening with some switchgrass this spring as well to, again, try to create a better way to get in and get out without spooking any deer.
Tom, I know that you're thinking about repositioning or adding some stands on your piece of ground. Why? What's the reason?
Well, the first year that we owned it was 2020, and I had a trail cam set up in a really nice pinch point, but this pinch point was in the middle of two bedding pieces, and so I put an observation stand up there, and I was about 30 yards too far to the northwest. So northwest winds, it was blowing right where all the bucks were doing most of their traveling on the downwind side of all that bedding.
Right.
So I learned a lot by sitting there a few times, and I just got to move that another 30 yards downwind out of the way so I'm not getting busted. And then another thing that I really want to do is I want to set up for an east wind. They don't happen very often, but when they do, it seems like those deer get up and start moving because it's something different. You can't really get a deer out of their pattern, but Mother Nature can. So I'm going to get set up. We've got the river there on the west side of the property. Get it set up where you can get in and out, like JT was saying, without getting busted. And I think that that's going to be killer for my property this year with my scent blowing over the river and into the neighbor's property.
Yeah.
And even if it's just a one or two sits out of the year, it should be good if you're in the right spot getting those deer coming off their bedding and cruising down on an opposite side of that bedding ground now that they haven't done very often.
Right, right. You know, JT, Tom makes a good point. You might move a stand for one or two sits, but if it's the right sit, it's worth all the effort.
That is absolutely one of the things that a lot of people do is they only set up their stand for the prevailing, you know, southwest, west wind. Tom's point on that east and northeast wind can be really helpful because a lot of times you get a cold front that comes in, the wind can switch around to that northeast. And, you know, those cold fronts can, especially in the late October timeframe, can really get the deer moving. So having that option to have a setup for, you know, the wind when it switches around to the east, northeast can be really smart.
Yeah, no doubt. JT, you said frost seeding. You were out doing some of that. Explain that. What is it?
Yeah, so that's a good way to basically increase the production and the tonnage of the clover that you're producing on your food plot. You know, a lot of times it gets eaten down pretty well. And so if you can go in there and frost seed in that mid-March, you know, early April kind of timeframe, it can provide a lot of benefit for your deer.
Well, and if it comes up quick enough, greens up quick enough, the newest green in a timber plot is going to be where the turkeys go too.
It could be as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Tom, I know you're thinking about doing a burn too on a chunk of your ground. We were actually going to try to do it this weekend, but the wind doesn't look right for us to get that done. A couple of things that we talked about, if you're going to do a burn, guys, is mow the border maybe more than once, okay, and mow it wide enough that it can act as a break and give you an opportunity to drive in there with a side-by-side and a tank of water and keep that fire under control. The other thing is we've got a friend that's on the fire department, Tom, and it's always a good idea to get them involved in a burn like this, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've only been around one burn, I think. So I'm no expert, and I'm not going to sit there and act like I am when it comes to fire out in a bunch of grass. You know,
right.
I would rather have somebody there that knows what they're doing, because with my property, that grass is, I don't know, I don't know the last time if it ever saw fire, and it's plenty lawn that it's not going to take very long to get going. And I don't own all the ground just to the north of it, and I don't feel like paying money towards something that I screwed up on because I wasn't prepared for it.
Right, right. JT, the point that Tom just made right there is whatever you do to manage that ground, get somebody involved that knows what they're doing.
Well, sure. That's a really smart idea. It's a good idea if you've got some buddies that are firemen or something like that. But I think your idea that you pointed out about, you know, mowing down the edges or even tilling the edges yep. of that food plot or something to where that fire won't hopefully, you know, leap across that and get into your woods or something like that. That could be obviously detrimental.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. You don't want to make a mistake. Yeah. No. Not when you're dealing with fire, and that has been proven time and time again. Tom, what else are you thinking about on your piece of ground? I know I'm thinking about putting a fishing pole in my hand at some point.
Oh, yeah. Still got a lot of trees to cut. I found more locust trees, and I'm not a huge fan of those, so I want to get more light. I want to get more light to the ground, and those are going to be the first ones to go, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So other yep. than that, a lot of stand prep right now.
Right. Right, the stand prep, getting in position, in the right position for this fall. What about you, JT? What else are you doing in the timber?
Well, so the other thing that we can do here in Ohio, and it depends on the state, right? You can put out some minerals. Here we're allowed to do that. I use trophy rock. That works really well. It helps the does, you know, when they're yep. lactating and so forth with their fawns, and it also helps bucks grow you know, better racks over time. So that can be an added benefit. But you know, to Tom's point, you know, I'm doing a lot of work really with food plot preparation right now and tree stand relocation. You know, that's just based on the prior year's experience and, you know, learning from, well, I was just a little bit too far away. I need to be in bow range. And, you know, if I can just move into this other tree, that'll be a better set up yep. for me this coming fall.
And obviously now is the time to do it, not the week before you want to get in the stand with a bow.
That's right. There's no sense. Yeah, you can set it up now. You can yep. prune it out now, so you've got good shooting lanes, and yep. you won't be bumping the deer, obviously, prior to season.
Good stuff. JT, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, Tom, we'll see you soon, buddy. Thanks, man.
Yep, appreciate it.
All right, that's JT Krager, Basecamp Leasing, and Outdoors on the Farm team member, Tom Florey.